Hey there. Welcome to season two of Inside the Ecosystem. My name is Keisha. I'm your co-host, and I'm bringing you interviews every Thursday with some of my favorite folks. You'll get to hear from entrepreneurs, creatives around the world who have built their lives around the cannabis ecosystem, and they've got some really dope stories to tell. So be sure to tune in every time you hear the episode drop like this. In today's episode, I get the pleasure of interviewing Dana Gordon, who is a beast in the wellness space, amazing dancer, super dope entrepreneur, and marketing extraordinaire. I got an opportunity to sit down with her to talk about how she got into the cannabis space, what things she likes to consume with, which is how we just jump into the interview for those who are listening versus watching, and so much more. I want to thank Dana for sitting down and sharing her story, because I know that she and I are both super busy because we're out here building empires. So I just wanted to share a little bit of her story with you all, and feel free to tap in with Dana. Her information will be in the places that you hear this audio. So let's get into it.
They hit, but
I'm not a fan of a King Palm. I don't like those flavors. Like, you have to, like, once you little crack the thing, no.
The push to, you know, consume flavor, like, I don't. Watermelon does not naturally occur in cannabis.
Absolutely not. Yes.
At all.
Give me a good regular leaf with a good Russian cream or dark
salt. Yeah, dark salt every time. Yeah. Okay. Well, I definitely got to get you to try the Packs and Pearls. Next time we're in the same room, I'll make sure I have one on me, because I want to grab some of this. So, okay. You're a blunt girl, which is... I don't even want to say it's rare these days. I feel like us blunt smokers are, like, in the closet right now. Because everyone's like, paper, gotta be healthy. And I'm like, put my blunt.
Every now and again, at least at the end of the night. So I typically smoke blunts to end my day, not necessarily to start, because they do slow me down a little bit. And throughout the day, I'm definitely an edible girl. If I start running low on edibles, I get anxiety. Mm-hmm. I always have edibles ready to go in my bag, in whatever it needs to be.
Any preferred ones?
So my favorite used to be the Juanas.
Okay.
The Juanas are not in the market right now. And also, they were a little high end on the pricing.
They were luxurious.
So now, I mean, I really like the Kiva. I really like the Kiva. I like one-to-one. So, like, okay. The sour peaches are good. I'm a lightweight. A cute 10 to 15 milligram is, like, my perfect dose.
Do not be ashamed.
I'm not ashamed.
Because there are people out here who are like 40s or nothing. And I'm like, I bite half of a 40 and I'm still like, I gotta sit back a little bit.
I will say the Curio chews are probably the most potent. Like, those are the most smack you in the face, but I don't need to be smacked in the face like that.
At all. At least not on a regular, right? I know there's some ways where I know for me, I love taking edible before I get on a plane, because anxiety hits as soon as takeoff goes. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know necessarily if I need a 40 to really do that. Like a 15, a 10, and maybe some tincture and a drink that I'm having, mm-hmm, might level me out. But yeah, listen, we got to bring back the 10 milligram girls.
Okay, my goal is not to go to bed. My goal is to function.
Yeah. All right. Yes. Okay. So I know who you are. Please tell the folks who will listen, who will see this, who you are, what you do, and what brought you to cannabis.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm Dana, for those who do not know. I'm from Baltimore, so I'm local. We're in there from Baltimore County. I have been in the marketing space for probably 5 years now. I graduated from Frostburg.
Okay. If you are not familiar with the way to get to Frostburg, do not take a 40-gram edible driving up those roads.
Not.
Because you will see yourself.
It will stress you out. They have run off ramps for trucks, and it's a little, but it's a nice ride, especially in the fall when the leaves are changing color.
Yes.
Driving up the mountains is super peaceful and super nice. It was fun for the 4 years I was there. Would never recommend living there. But it was fun. So it was like 4 years I was there.
What made you choose Frostburg?
So I wanted to be far enough from home that I could stay on campus, because my parents, they had it in their minds that I was going to stay home. And I was like, I'm absolutely not staying home. I am going away for college. That is the whole point of this. So, I wanted to find something that was close enough that I could easily come back and forth, but far enough that it was like, okay, I'm away. And then, of course, cost, too. So my other runner-up was St. Mary's.
Okay.
Which is on the other side of, I think, St. Mary's is south. Don't give me a line.
It's directionally right across from Frostburg when you think about the the map.
But in the opposite direction. So that was my other option. But when I looked at, like, demographics, when I looked at diversity, when I looked at cost, Frostburg made a little bit more sense. They're both PWIs, but Frostburg had a little bit more diversity, and the cost was about half the cost. So I chose Frostburg, and it was great. It was a great experience. I had a good time. I majored in communication studies and a minor in marketing and public relations. So from there, I got into the marketing space. My first job was like a full-time office job for a digital marketing company doing SEO-based copywriting. So I was writing blogs and posting to social media, but that was back when social media was super simple. Mm-hmm. And it was just a matter of like, oh, look at this blog. Like, oh, look at this little graphic. Look at this graphic.
And people could actually see it because it wasn't super saturated.
You know?
I remember
the algorithm was just very much like, oh, here are your followers. Here's what they're posting. So that's how I got started in the marketing field. Hobbies, I'm a dancer too. So I've been dancing since I was in middle school. Took a liking to it. I will say that I was not a natural. It took some practice. That was not a natural giving gift. It was not. I just really enjoyed it, and I really admired dancers, and I used to watch So You Think You Can Dance, and I was like, I want to look like them. And so I decided that I would, and so that is something that I stuck with.
You cannot tell me that this is a natural talent. So for the folks who are watching, I'm just going to add a little clip of all of the moves that Dana has done. Like, you can really.
Yeah, that was not my, I couldn't even put tights on. I couldn't even hit a plie. I couldn't do a split. I'm not gonna say I didn't naturally have rhythm, but I did not come out the womb dancing like some people who were like, oh yeah, I started when I was 2.
Wow.
Absolutely not. I started when I was about 12, which is a little late in the dance game. Mm-hmm. Really liked it, so I stuck with it. I was on my dance teams in high school and college, and really didn't take it seriously until I graduated college, honestly, because I had so much, I guess, anxiety growing up as a kid, so that really hindered my ability to enjoy it as much as I would like to. Mm-hmm. So as I grew older and got into the adult space, I joined a company called Torch Dance Company. Shout out to Britt, because she changed my adult dance life.
Nice.
And got me into heels and got me into, you know, the adult dance world. And it's just been, now it's more so a hobby again versus a career goal, but it's something that I'm very passionate about. So movement is my home. Marketing is something that I do. So let me spin back. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Let me spin back to the marketing space. So I was in marketing before I got into cannabis. I was in marketing for about 3 years, and I also was in restaurants. So what I did was I would always have a serving job, and then I would have a freelance marketing gig. So those are my two. I kept it balanced. My restaurant job was like my social interaction for the day. It was like my quick money, and then I would have the freelance marketing for like building a long-term career out of it. And my goal was to be out of restaurants by 25. That was my goal. I didn't want to work in restaurants anymore at 25. So fast forward to 2019. And I had actually made the decision to stop freelancing. So I had stopped my freelance. It was a completely remote freelance job. Nothing was wrong with it. But in the moment, I had gotten offered a management position at the restaurant I was working at. I worked at Silver Diner. And I got offered a management position. And at the time, the money made sense. I was really trying to move out on my own, like really trying to make some moves. And so I let go of my freelance job. I was about to start training to be a manager at Silver Diner. And then I think it was about 2 or 3 days before my training started, the world shut down.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes.
The world, then COVID. So COVID happened. What date? It was like March something, 2019, whatever date it was. So.
March 13th?
March 13th, I think remember. It was. I had went out for my friend's birthday the weekend before. And yes. It was like,
we went out for a friend who was retiring mm-hmm. from her government position. And mind you, we all probably done like 5 years in the government at that point. She's like, I'm retiring. I'm leaving. Bump this. And literally the next Monday, they were like, take your stuff home. You'll be working from home for the foreseeable future. So,
yeah. So that happens. And wow. So I was sitting there like, ooh, I shouldn't have let go of my remote job. You know, like this would have been the perfect time to keep it, you know. But that was the universe. The universe is like, you're not supposed to be a restaurant manager. And like, you know, and it's fine for whatever path that is for someone, but it wasn't the path for me. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like that was the push I needed. So I stayed in the restaurant for a little bit, but then unemployment started kicking in. And I was like, it don't make sense for me to be working here.
Mm, right.
So I requested that they lay me off, and they did. And so, I wasn't working for from like April to August. And then August came around and the unemployment was ending. So it was time to make something shake.
Yes, yes.
Time to make something shake. I started consuming cannabis in college. Okay. I actually used to be an anti-cannabis.
I used to be one of those people.
Yes. My first boyfriend in college smoked, and I used to like be so annoyed every time he would come back from his sessions, and his eyes would be red, and he wouldn't take anything seriously, and I'd be like, it's because you have. Like,
yes. Yep. Yep.
And so it was me. Yeah. That was me. And
that was me, too. It's amazing how we come full circle.
How we come full circle, right? So my second semester, I tried smoking. It was okay my second semester. It really wasn't until my sophomore year that I started smoking a lot. But then I didn't know what to do with it. So I was smoking way too much. It was affecting my grades, started slipping that first semester that I really got into smoking. Mm-hmm. It took me a minute to figure out some balance, but I figured out some balance. But definitely was a recreational user in college. Thought I knew something until now. So yeah, so I was always consuming cannabis. And then in August, I had just so happened to be at a friend of a friend's house, and they had a medical card, and they were like, yeah, you know, this is the dispensary that I go to. And I was like, oh, and he was like, matter of fact, they're hiring, you should apply. And I was like, I didn't even know that there were dispensaries in Maryland. I didn't know anything about medical cannabis, medical cards. I was oblivious.
Really?
To this entire industry. Oblivious. And at the time, my dad, he found out I smoked in college, and he was not happy about it at all. It was a whole thing. It affected our relationship for a long time. He's come a long way now, so he's coming around.
As they do.
But it was rough. So that I had two motives. One motive was that I needed a job, and the other motive was that I'm about to prove him wrong. I'm about to get into this industry.
Yeah.
And show this man that like cannabis is not so bad. We're gonna go for it, you know? So I applied. Got an interview. I got the position. They actually hired me with my marketing background in mind. And so I started as a bartender, patient advisor. Mm-hmm. And within about 6 months, I moved up to start helping with marketing part-time. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of changes were happening at the time. Some turnovers happened. And then I got pushed up to marketing manager full-time and ended up as the marketing director when their second location opened in Baltimore. And I didn't know at the time how reputable the dispensary was. I worked at Remedy. So at the time, I didn't realize how reputable of a dispensary Remedy was until I started getting into it. I'm like, oh, okay, this is like one of the top dispensaries. Okay, mm-hmm. This is good. This is fine. So as I worked my way up, I was able to develop so much more experience from social media to email marketing to customer relationship management with loyalty programs, event planning, like opening stores, launching like the cookies corner. There were so many things that I got the chance to experience in this space. It was really beautiful. And that's what really kicked off my cannabis marketing career. And from there, I kind of got the information that I needed. I absorbed as much knowledge as I could possibly absorb. And I took that. And when the time was right, I decided to start my own business. So fast forward to today, I've only been in business for about 2 months, going on 3 months, but I am now plant-based marketing consulting, a digital marketing firm that specializes in social media management, customer relationship management, loyalty programs, event planning, all the things. So that's where I'm at now. That is me in a long nutshell.
That, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you see how the path got you here.
Yes.
So that, I mean, I've seen the trajectory even just in a short time, and I'm super, super proud because, one, not only you took the opportunity that you had, because, I mean, like you said, you didn't know that the market was the way that it was. You took a job at a dispensary. You worked your way up. You utilized your skills to get to where you need to be, absorb the information, and then you took that leap of faith, which as a person who was also taking a leap of faith, I know it's not easy. So tell me, how have you been balancing, because I've been telling you to balance, how do you balance that work, life? I mean, cannabis, you may necessarily be working with other industries as well, but like just speaking specifically for cannabis, it's always changing and moving, right? It's always something different. Now, how you advertise and market may be standard, but we just got draft regulations overnight. So as far as with the way we work with your business and your clients, like, how are you balancing all that?
I'm still figuring it out. I'm still figuring out the best balance. So I'm definitely still working out a set schedule for myself. Honestly, the business picked up a lot faster than I expected. So there are some foundational pieces that I really need to get in order. Like my website is not done yet. There's some things that my processes are not completely ironed out. Right now, I'm just kind of going with the flow, mm-hmm. winging it a little bit, kind of like customizing the way I do things for whichever client presents themselves. Mm-hmm. But as far as work-life balance, I think for me, it's just making sure that I'm at least taking little bits of time for me. And that's what's most important. So I definitely run off of a better than nothing lifestyle, better than nothing concept. Like, as long as you take time for yourself, take time for your healing, at least a little bit every day, that is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. And you will create the habit. You will continue, even if it's just a minute, even if you just start with a minute of, okay, I'm going to wake up 5 minutes earlier so that I can meditate for 1 minute. It makes so much of a difference, and that 1 minute is going to turn into 2 minutes, and that 2 minutes is going to turn into 3 minutes. So for me, it's about consistency and remembering that your best looks different every day, and being flexible and adaptable as well, because my schedule shifts so much. Like, sometimes I might have a concert shoot. Sometimes I might have an impromptu meeting. So it's really just being flexible, mm-hmm. and allowing that space to be adaptable while also taking care of myself. So I do wake up pretty early most of the time. I wake up at between 5 and 5:30 so that I can have time, quiet time, before anybody else is texting me, calling me, emailing me, et cetera, to really just get my mind right. And that has made a lot of a difference from waking up like 30 minutes to an hour before I have to like log onto my computer or be somewhere. That rushing, that sense of urgency, it stimulates anxiety, and I'm an anxious person, so like I need time to settle. Mm-hmm. So that morning time gives me that time to settle. I make my tea. I sit on my mat. I might do some yoga. I might just sit on my mat. You know, it depends.
Just gotta breathe.
Just depends on the day. And I really think that that's the most important for me for balancing, is making sure I have that time to myself each and every day, no matter what that looks like, even if it's forcing myself to step away from the computer just to go outside and take a deep breath. That is where I find my balance currently as I'm working through this chaos.
Yes.
I am a creative. I am not a naturally structured calendar person. So it is a consistent work in progress.
I hear you. And it's okay. You will consistently be working on it forever. Just know, I think one thing they don't tell us about, you know, taking the leap in entrepreneurship is that schedule, that gets me every week. Okay. And I've been in business solo for myself at least 2 years. And I tell you, every Monday I wake up and I'm like, when am I supposed to do this week?
What is this week?
Right. Or I try on Sundays to kind of set my schedule, and I get better with it. surprisingly, as summer comes, during the school year, my partner's a teacher, so my schedule's always thrown off. But that schedule, I mean, you can have many planners, many calendars, but something and someone is going to get lost and forgotten about. And so I just say give yourself grace. Now, you mentioned the mat. You mentioned the mat. Tell us about your practice and, you know, if you have a morning routine and what kind of influence is that?
Okay, so my practice is really important. My practice has been on and off for a while. So I've always done yoga. It's always been present in my life, even when I didn't realize it was yoga. So, like, even in middle school, when I would do my dancing, they would always have a modern dance class each week. And that modern dance class was essentially hatha yoga. But I didn't realize that at the time. It wasn't until I got into my teacher training that I was like, oh, I've been doing yoga for a long time, you know? So it definitely came full circle. It's something that I always come back to. But my practice is super important. I will say for the past 9 months, I just graduated with my yoga teacher certification. So for the past 9 months, my practice has been a little bit different because it's been geared towards me getting ready to teach, me getting ready for my final. So my practice has not so much been for me as I would have liked it to been for the past 9 months because it was very much focused on like, okay, I have this assignment. Okay, mm-hmm. I had this final class. Okay, I had to do this. So it was, and we had a certain amount of meditation logs and that we had to fill out every day, which kept me consistent. But again, it was for something else. So I'm just getting back to practicing for me.
Mm-hmm.
It feels so good. But my yoga practice really has changed my life. My yoga teacher training has changed my life. And it has really just, the word of my training or the word is really authenticity.
Mm.
I feel like my training has taught me a lot about who I am and how to show up as myself. And ways to do that, because for a long time, I was fighting that, you know, for a long time, I was fighting the fact that my gifts were very healing based and very emotionally based. So I don't know if you've ever taken the like Myers-Briggs strength test.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to take that test like every 6 months, hoping that something would change.
Oh, my gosh.
I used to. So for a long time, I had this idea in mind. So let me backtrack a little bit. So growing up, I have a very supportive family. Me and my family are very close. Both my parents, I'm in the middle. I have two sisters, one older, one younger. So I don't know, middle child syndrome.
Ooh,
but
yes.
But very supportive family. But growing up, they were all just a little bit different than I was. So both of my parents are Virgos. They are hardworking, professionals, perfectionists. They are very organized, very schedule-oriented, and so are both of my siblings. So, and then there's me, right? It just kind of like skipped over, right? Which is fine. So, like, my mom's house would be spotless, and in my room, there was clothes everywhere. Like, you know, couldn't keep it together. Had a lot of trouble focusing and staying organized when I was growing up, and so I fought against that. For a long time, I fought against that because I felt like that was wrong. I'm like, well, if I'm going to be successful in this corporate America, then I need to be organized. I need to be structured. I need to be good with numbers. I need to not be empathetic because these CEOs out here are not. They are just very logical and numbers based. I'm like, this is how I need to be if I'm going to be successful. So for a long time, I was fighting that. And I was trying to be this structured, organized, logical person, and when my strengths would show up, it's like empath, mediator, good listener. I'm like, this isn't a strength. Like, whatever that was.
Not what they talk about in the interview.
No,
asking about these questions.
Ask me how my empathy can help. So, I was in the process of really trying to change that, and I really think that was part of the beginning of my marketing journey and why there was such a disconnect for me in the marketing space in the beginning. Went through a lot of emotions because I felt like. Now, looking back on it, I feel like I was kind of doing it for show. Like, this is what I should be doing, so this is what I'm going to do. So fast forward to last year, 420 last year, to be exact. It was my first 420 that I had fully planned myself, planned the entire day. We were doing a 24 hours of 420. And I was super excited, like, finally. And it was also the day before I was leaving to go to California to go to Coachella. And it was my first Coachella trip, my first California trip. I was super excited, feeling really grateful in the moment. And I was driving, and I was on my way home. When I was on my way home, this woman came flying out of a Walmart shopping center and, like, clipped my back end of my car. Mm-hmm. And my car flipped and went up in the air, and it flipped, and it landed on this roof. And I walked away from it. Walked away from it relatively unscathed. I have a little bit of a bad shoulder, but in the grand scheme of things, I'll take it. And it was really that moment that pushed me full force into my yoga journey and my wellness journey and my health journey. It took a little bit of time, a little bit of self-reflecting, because I kept asking myself two questions. Why did this happen to me? And why did I walk away from it? Twofold.
Both ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
You want the full story.
Yes, I need to know. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe I created a reason for myself. I honestly don't know if everything happens for a reason, or sometimes there's just glitches in the story that just make it a little more exciting. Who's to say? I don't know for sure.
I say both.
Maybe both, right? But for me, creating a reason helped me cope with it and helped me move forward. So that really... At that time, I was fighting my gift so hard. Like, I was fighting so hard to be this person that I wasn't. I felt like I was literally steering so far in the wrong direction that the universe, like, knocked me back on the road that I was supposed to be on. That's what I felt like was happening in that moment. And at the time, I didn't see that. But when I reflect back on it, I was like, yeah, you really were focused on all of the wrong things. You were so, so far gone away from my healing gifts and away from my impact that, like, I wasn't that anymore. I was quite selfish. I wasn't really regarding people's emotions at the time. I was so wrapped up in my own journey. So I went from one extreme to the other. So that moment shifted me. And then I realized that wellness, healing is where I need to be. It is a gift. It is not a burden to be an empath. We need empaths in this world, especially in this corporate America. Mm-hmm. So from that point forward, I was like, this is you. This is you, and this is where you're supposed to be. So I, you know, looked for some yoga teacher trainings. I found a Black-owned yoga studio, and I didn't look back. I started on that journey, and that really brought up the topic of authenticity as I tried to navigate my unique voice as a yoga teacher. I eventually found it, which was me fusing dance into it, because there was a disconnect for a while, because I was trying to be this strict, just yoga teacher, and something wasn't clicking. And so the topic of authenticity is super important, and that's really where what my wellness journey and my yoga journey and my practice has taught me, is to show up as you. There's only one of you, and no matter what, you know, somebody might have this strength and this strength and this strength, but the beauty of it is knowing what your strengths are, and also knowing what your weaknesses are, and knowing how to pivot and how to outsource them, and that you don't necessarily have to fix all of those weaknesses. You just find your people that, you know, collaborate with you, and that bounce off of your strengths and bounce off of your weaknesses, and you just create this circle of people who complete each other in that realm, and you go from there. So my yoga practice has been pivotal in me actually starting my business. I was in my yoga training when I made the final decision to leave my job and take that leap of faith and start my business. And if it wasn't for that training, I don't think I would have taken that step. Things were really just panning out, and so I really wanted to make sure that my marketing was authentic to me. Mm-hmm. And that was around, so plant-based marketing is around marketing solutions for wellness-based companies, because I want to market for things that I believe in. And there is a lack of that niche in the marketing space. And I found that the marketing space that I was on and the journey that I was on was becoming a little manipulative. It was very much all about numbers. It was very much all about, you know, how can we sell this? How can we sell this? How can we make people want this? And it was less about the people and the story and, like, how can we connect to these people? Because that's genuine marketing. That's a wins every time. Authenticity. So say it again and again, but being authentic and being yourself, those are the biggest things that I have brought with me from my practice and my yoga journey, and just try to keep doing it as I share my journey with others, making sure not to just show the good stuff and not just make Instagram like a highlights page, making sure I'm showing up with the struggles too and what that looks like. And that my practice has been everything for that reason.
I'll say, I think it's important, that authenticity piece. And I feel that, you know, a lot of us we're either really aligned because we're walking that same path of no more of the highlight reel. Like, I am frustrated with life, whether it's my partner, whether it's the world, whether it's the fact that my team didn't go to the finals. Like, and I need to be able to share that because I don't want you to think that, oh, you see me out and about and everything is great. Because, I mean, yeah, it's great in that moment, but I'm also failing at some things, mm-hmm. right? And I admire your courage of, like, truly unpacking that because a lot of people really just walk around existing, right? They wake up, they eat breakfast, they take their kids to school or they go to work, they come home, they sit in front of the TV, they do whatever they need to do, and it's the same thing over and over again. And for me, that's why I say I feel like it's alignment because a lot of the people that I'm around are now like, all right, y'all, we're giving up the ghost. Stop faking the funk. Like, shit is either really good or it's really not good. And I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand that there will be times where it's not good and you still got to push. Like, you still got to go. And in this hustle culture that we live in, and I'd love to get your perspective on that, especially as you've completed your training and just coming from that balance of, like, sleep when you're dead and you just got to keep working and working and working and it's all about the numbers, like, that's not sustainable. And you will, your body eventually will tell you, or the universe, your creator, God, whoever that may be, will stop you and fully redirect you. So tell me about that. How do you feel about hustle? Like, everyone's always about the hustle. And we young, we sexy, we savvy. But also, like, I don't want that for you.
This soft life era, this soft life trend that's coming up, it was made for me.
Yes, soft life.
It was made for me. I am so, I don't want to say anti-hustle culture because I probably work in the hardest I've ever worked right now. But I just feel like I shouldn't have to. So I go through motions with hustle culture because I realize that I'm in this space. You know, I grew up middle class. The middle class are probably, I feel like, the hardest workers out of all, you know, out of all of them. They have to be. We get taxed the most. Like, yes. It's got to maintain. So I go back and forth between being truly frustrated with the fact that we have to work this hard and then accepting that as part of the journey. So I guess my piece to that is just making sure that I give myself grace and remembering, like, my motto is, like, your best looks different every day. Mm-hmm. It looks different every day. So if one day you're ready to hustle, hustle. If you have that energy, knock it out. Like, if you can sit there and you can work for hours on it and you got it in you, do it. As soon as your body is like, stop, listen to it. Mm-hmm. Listen to your body, because, like you said, your body will tell you everything you need to know. When I was fighting against myself, there was anxiety, there was depression, there was physical health problems that popped up that I'm still navigating now, trying to fix what has, you know, built up for so long mm-hmm. to get back to a healthy space. So it's really just about listening to your body and trusting your gut in this hustle culture and knowing that, like, it's okay to take breaks and rest is productive. It's productive. Not only is it productive, if you don't rest, life is going to sit you down.
Absolutely.
Life is going to sit you down.
I'm a true proponent of rest is a form of resistance, for sure. I say my ancestors worked too hard for me to continue to work, especially after taking the untraditional path of entrepreneurship, right? Whereas my grandmother, my great-grandmother, none of them would have even had the opportunity to do that. So why not just take advantage of it? But also, it's okay to rest. It's okay to rest.
And just making sure you're zooming out every now and again. Making sure you're zooming out and looking at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture being that life is so short. Life is so short and time goes so fast. So, like, that thing that you are so zoomed in on that is stressing you out so much, just zoom out. Mm-hmm. And just take a look at the bigger picture. Take a look at life. Take a look at all the places you can go. Take a look at how beautiful the world is, even if it's just your neighborhood. Take a look at that. And remember that there's so much more than whatever is stressing you out right there in that moment.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, yes, I am anti-hustle culture.
Yeah, and I will say, if you ever look at any of my old tweets, I definitely was hustle, hustle, hustle. I even think my personal Instagram has hustle in the name of it because that's just how I lived for so long. But like you said, you will eventually be reminded that rest is important. Community is important too. For me, oh, I would be nowhere without my community. It's how I was raised. It's how I will raise the next generation that comes under me, whether they're mentees or children. But yeah, community is big for me. How does community fit in with you?
Community is big for me. Community was a journey for me. So I always had community within my family. Like, my immediate family was definitely my community for a long time. They were my biggest support system. I struggled with community for a while just because I used to be very shy, very introverted. I'm still introverted, just not shy anymore, but very introverted, very much scared to talk to people. So I always struggled in groups. So I go back to like my dance teams. I was in a dance team in middle school, dance team in high school, dance team in college, and I really struggled in those spaces where it was almost like a forced community. Like, these are your people, these are who you with, this is who you practice with. And I really struggled with that because I was so to myself and I was always around these really strong personalities, and it for a while it intimidated me to go further into a shell. So for a while I was very much dealing with things myself. I was very much dealing with any stress myself, dealing with things myself until that was unfeasible, because that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, that's not healthy. So I really didn't find, I guess, my community or realize the importance of community until probably like the past 3 years or so. And the community that I'm finding now as I go through my journey is so beautiful. So now community really is everything. Mm-hmm. Like you said, knowing what you're good at, what other people are good at. To me, community is about like-minded people who want to share resources, share the wealth, pass it around, bounce ideas off of each other. Like, we're not gatekeeping anymore. We're not gatekeeping these things or how to be successful. Like, I want to share. Mm-hmm. I want people to share it with me. Like, I want people, like-minded, genuine people to share it with me. And I guess I struggle with that a little bit too, because I am such an empath and I feel I am such an understanding and genuine person, that is also being wary of like those people who are not that, and those people who you really want to fit in your community but don't necessarily fit into your community. Yeah. That's something that I'm newly struggling with, is learning, you know, who can come with you, who can't come with you, and things like that. But community is super important, and I've honestly found some of the best community I ever had in this cannabis space. Like, this cannabis industry is beautiful because we are all trying to change a stigma together, and we have all been talked about a certain way, or we have all been, you know, ridiculed for our habits and for us consuming cannabis at some point in our lives. So mm-hmm. I feel like that is what keeps us together and keeps us so non-judgmental. I have met some of the most non-judgmental, supportive, beautiful people in this cannabis space. Like, they always say your biggest supporters are the people that you would least expect. And it's people who I've just like worked with or crossed paths with every now and again, who are like always commenting on my posts and like always hit me up like, girl, you got this. And it's like, it's amazing, honestly. So community has become so important to me now as I'm in this intimate cannabis space, especially right now because the medical industry in Maryland is so small. I've so come to realize, and it's just beautiful how people are just so ready and willing to support one another. And then, like I said, having people who can contribute where you might not be able to contribute, and putting your brains together to create something bigger. So community really is everything. I used to fight it because I was so nervous to network, and I was like, I'll just be a loner, but it's not sustainable.
At all, community is big. And I'm big, extroverted, big personality, so I understand where you're like, I don't necessarily know, but like, I too agree. Those people who, even people you haven't met, probably your biggest support. People you don't know. I listen, every post, every story you put up, I'm like, okay, she's doing the damn thing. If I can share it, I can share it. I've been waiting to share the graduation, congratulations one, but it's coming, because that's big. And we talked a little bit about it before we got on camera, but like, it's big to one, do something and fully see it through, because we live in this culture of quick, fast, ChatGPT, self-checkout, everything is pre-done. There's no like real true critical thinking that has to be done. And I think it's a skill that just has gotten lost over time, but like the commitment and the dedication to go from point A to point B and still be in it, like you aren't traditionally still in cannabis, but you're in cannabis, right? And you could have ran very fast after transitioning out of the last position because so many of folks have done it. But you're still here, you're still pushing through, and you're absolutely inspiring people who are just waiting to meet you. You already know that. So they were like, oh my God, I know you. And you've been friends with me, like, I know you. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, you're like, I know you.
Me?
Me. They were like, mm-hmm. And they run down your resume.
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta feel good. Because you know that you're inspiring someone and they're talking about you in rooms that you probably are just waiting to enter. So, yes, that's super dope. I'm proud of you just for that. So what's coming up next? How can we support you? As a small business owner, I'm sure you know there are some ways in which we can make sure that you are sustainable for as long as you want to be. But let us know. How can we support?
Send me some clients. You know.
Well, I mean,
I know, I'm just
you
kidding.
Already know.
So I am in the wellness space. So wellness-based companies, community-oriented companies. So currently I'm actually working with a grower in cannabis. I run their social media, so I was very grateful to be working with them. That's probably my biggest contract right now. I am working with a local community-based food company who's like based completely out of Baltimore. So people like that is who I really want to gear towards. Definitely specialize in cannabis marketing because cannabis marketing is such a niche market. And I do think that I have the advantage of having like been in the ground in it, because what I'm seeing is that a lot of cannabis companies, they go the third party route, and which is fine if that's the route that you want to go. But the third party is like, they're typically in other states, they're in other markets. They're not on the grounds, haven't been a bartender, haven't been a patient about it. So me having been in all these positions, I really feel like gives me a nice advantage and a good knowledge of all the things, and allows me to tap into my empathy and all of that, and to understand like, okay, we need to consider the people on the grounds. Like, these people need to be considered, they need to be highlighted, they need to be marketed as well, like they need to be cared for, all the things. So I guess I'll say that the best way to support me is just to support me, like sharing my post, keeping, like you said, keeping my names in rooms that I might not be in. I am directly in Canada. Don't say I'm not directly in it, but I am directly in Canada right now.
You are.
But I'm not necessarily like in the dispensary as much as I used to be, like not necessarily mingling with people as much as I was before. So I think the biggest way to support is just to, again, my business page is not set up yet. As a marketer, I'm not looking good. But it's fine.
As long as your clients' pages are top tier, you are okay.
Okay.
We can work on the foundations.
Yes, we can figure all that out yet. It's just you know, supporting me digitally, sharing my content with people, speaking my name in rooms that I might not be in yet. That is just the best way to support me. You're already supporting me so much, so I really appreciate you.
Of course. Like I said, low key, this series is to showcase my peeps as they matriculate through this industry. And when I met you, when you were working at the previous employer, I saw the spark in you, right? You didn't necessarily look like, I'm here to get a discount, like, I'm invested in this. And you had to be, because like, who would want to take on a full-time role like that for a company in an industry that is still federally illegal, where your pages are getting shut down, shadow banned? Like, there's obviously a passion there. And so, I just wanted to make sure I stayed in touch, right? And any opportunity, anything that I see that could fit, that could work, any way I can bring you along with me, it's my goal. And it's my goal for most of the people that you either see me interacting with, because adult use is coming, right? And if you're watching this and adult use is already here, it's here. But like, I want to make sure that when I'm sitting across from the governor and he's like, hey, who are some small businesses that you can recommend that should be in the pipeline for how we move forward? I'm going to make sure. I do marketing, but I want to do it for small business owners. You have a very unique niche of working with operators and license holders, and even just knowing how to navigate that, I don't want to do that. But I do want to make sure that if you are in a position to do that, you get that contract, right? And we'll talk about all the foundational things later, mm-hmm. making sure it's all cool. Because that is what I do, right? I want to make sure that you're in a good position to receive all that you need. But I also want to keep track. Like, what you got going on? What's exciting? So you just finished your certification. You've been working with clients. And I feel very honored to be able to, like, travel that journey with you, if that makes sense. So, for sure.
Absolutely. And I do, we do have, I just did my first event with a couple other women, which is like, that was, I want to say like a side project, but still under my business for sure, my Nugs and Networks event. Mm-hmm. So we do have another event coming up in the summertime. It'll be very different. It'll be outdoor. It'll be super fun.
Yes, yes.
So definitely look out for that too.
Absolutely. Yes, that event was awesome. So I can't wait to see what's coming in the summer and, you know, just tap me in, let me know so I can start the horns, letting everybody know, like, okay, let's pack the room, let's pack it up. This is how we support each other. So is there anything you'd like to share with the listener, the viewer, who is looking to really, like, they identify with the piece of they're not living authentically, right? They are just getting up, smoking a J, and praying for the weekend. Or they're existing in a, you know, in a job where they feel called to be somewhere else. What advice would you give them to, like, take that first step?
To really just listen to your intuition. Listen to your gut and know that there is nobody out here that can do what you do. Whatever that is that you can do, I promise you can do it. And again, I go back to the zooming out. If it's a matter of being somewhere that you really don't want to be, make sure you take the time to zoom out and look at that bigger picture and realize that this is just a small little dot on your journey. So whether or not you're in a space, I'm never an advocate of go quit your job, because you never know what type of position anyone is in. So that's not me. That's not the message that I want to give out, but the message is to follow your gut and follow your intuition. And when you do zoom out and you realize that this is not where you want to be, then really just tap into your strengths and tap into yourself and just know that a mindset shift can really change your entire life. Once you decide that you can do something, it's already written. So that would be my best advice, is just to really tap into you, really take the time to sit with yourself and figure out what it is that fills you up, what it is that fills up your soul, and know that you can do that. You can do that, and that can be your livelihood, those things that feed your inner child. Like, we so often put those aside for work and for responsibilities, but don't do that, because those things keep calling you for a reason. They were given to you for a reason. So those natural gifts that you were given, tap into those and just know that once you decide you can do something, it's already done.
I love it. This has been another episode of Inside the Ecosystem. I am honored to have you grace this lovely couch, telling your story. And I will make sure that everyone is tapped into all the places that you exist. And I'm looking forward to being outside with you this summer.
Yes. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I look forward to it as well.
Of course. You did amazing.
Thank you.
You did. I'm sitting here like, oh, so you gonna drop it like that? Oh, okay. So clinical gems. Oh, okay. Vulnerability. Yes. Yo. The authentic piece. When I tell you I felt that,